This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Go ahead and do our thing. All right, we're live now. Let's see if I can work one more banner in while I'm waiting. John B. Jenkins, what's up? Let's see. Give a few more moments here. Let some more people get in before we start. Here we go. Hey, Panther fans, what's going on? Welcome to another edition of the Four Man Rush. I'm your main man, Kevin Avery, aka 4MR underscore Country Kev. I got my sidekick as usual with me here tonight. Panther's Den, 4MR, aka JD. We're coming in here to you for the first time this season, week three, Victory Monday. The Carolina Panthers defense and special teams led the way as they secured a 22-14 victory over the hated divisional rivals, the New Orleans Saints. Wasn't the prettiest, but, you know, got the job done. Well, I put like this. It wasn't pretty offensively for the most part. Now, if you're a fan of defense and special teams, it was a game of definite beauty to watch yesterday. Overall, the Panthers, they pretty much set the tone early and often, gave up some second half scores. I think with fourth quarter, I think that's when the Saints scored their two touchdowns, made it seem tighter than what it was. But tone wise, the Panthers defense pretty much controlled and dominated the game throughout. JD, give me your overall summary of what you thought of yesterday's performance.
Yeah, it's a win, bro. I'm just elated that these boys finally won one. A 9-game losing streak we snapped. this past Sunday. So look, you can't be a winning team until you snap them losing streaks. So that was good to see. I was impressed with the defense this game. Alvin Kamara is no slouch. So to hold him for 61 yards. Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara is good. That's a good running duo. Saints offense has a lot of firepower on it. So even though we gave up 147 to the young guy, 105 to Tre'Quan Smith, it's like as long as they're not scoring at will, extending drives and scoring, then we're at a good spot. So it was good to see them guys fly around. It was good to see the coaches trust their defense and let them guys cut them guys loose a little bit. A lot more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that allowed our guys to play fast and just react and be smart and physical. So that was good to see. Overall, we still need to see more from the offense, but hopefully our guy Laviska Shenault, first game as a Panther, takes the kickoff like 35 yards and then takes a small little out flat concept to the house from 67. So hopefully this offense will start getting together. But it was a good team win. And it's hard to narrow it down. Like I was fighting with Panther fans, even after a win. That's wild that we was on Twitter fighting after we won. But like, they're like, is that sustainable? Is that sustainable? If we score touchdowns and keep them from scoring touchdowns, it's sustainable. I swear to you, it's that simple. Like, the more we score and the more we keep them from scoring, it's sustainable. Like, the Saints did not score a single point until the fourth quarter. If you score points, you probably gonna win that game. So, yeah. Hopefully it's the first of many. Yeah, we'll see where they go, how these guys and Rule build on it.
Yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head. You know, end of that 9-game losing streak dating back to last year when we ended the game, I think, on what, a 7-game losing streak. It had been 371 days. Since the Panthers last won at home, which was actually last year, week two, against these same New Orleans Saints. So to literally go a whole entire calendar year between wins at home, I'm definitely appreciative. We could have won 3-0 yesterday, and I would have been happy to just see a W. It's been so long, JD, since I heard Sweet Caroline. I forgot the lyrics, bro.
Look, man. Look, man. I forgot we even did that. What?
Hey, man.
I forgot. I forgot we had a little touchdown music too for a little minute there until we started scoring them at home. But yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, we'll just give a couple quick shout outs here to our fans in the chats. We'd like to let them know we recognize them. John B. Jenkins and hey Kev, what's up? Good friend, Jamal Darby up under construction. Check him out, you guys, for Panthers, Hornets, anything Carolina-related sports. Great group of guys, good content. What's up, Kev? Elvon Friend, Hootie Who, longtime day one, Bill Spires in the house, Freddie Figueroa, Tyree Ross. I got my daughter here, Jelani, talking about what's the deal. Hey, Princess, Daddy love you. Fans in here, we'll address these comments a little bit later. So, you know, as I stated, week three, that win pushed the Carolinas from 0-2 to 1-2, and it took the Saints from 1-1 to 1-2. So technically, as of week three, JD, we are in second place because that was a divisional win, and we're undefeated in division. The Saints are now 1-1 in division because they won week one at Atlanta, but lost to us. And of course, let's see. And Tampa's still in first. So it's Tampa, Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta at the moment, and all of us at least has one win. Tampa's in first place at 2-1. They lost to Green Bay in a sleeper yesterday, 14-12. Came down to a goal line stand on a two-point conversion for them. But back to the Panthers. So take a look at the stats here, just from the game here, JD. You know, you can tell me what you think. From the first down perspective, Saints had 19 first downs. Panthers had 12 on third downs. The Saints converted 5 out of 13. The Panthers converted 4 out of 14, so about even there. Total plays ran about even. Saints had 64 plays. Panthers had 59. A bit discrepancies here in total yards here, but it's about points. Total yards, Saints had 426 total yards, Panthers 293. Passing yards, the Saints 342, the Panthers 148, ouch. But rushing yards held the Saints to 84 rushing yards. Again, as you mentioned earlier, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram ain't no jokes. That was a big improvement. And we did our thing with 145 yards behind Christian McCaffrey's second consecutive 100-yard-plus rushing day. What do these numbers tell you, JD, about the team and how they executed yesterday?
On the offensive side of the ball, obviously we're still anemic. We're not extended drives. We're not getting first downs. We might lead the league in like three and outs. Honestly, it's at that point through three games that just seems like the Panthers, for whatever reason, their first couple possessions on offense, or at least at the very least the first three quarters, is just cannot sustain drives. And that's an issue. I don't know if this a part of me believes it's like a chemistry thing, because when you look at it, our O-line was just named like not even a week, not even 2 weeks before the opening game. Baker was named the starter with 1 week left in the preseason. So I don't know how much it is like these guys haven't played together. They really don't know their strengths or where their hots are, where their reads are. It's like, I don't know if it's like just something that comes with the experience. But I do think McAdoo has to answer for a little bit of it. And again, it could be partly because I still feel like this offense is pretty vanilla. I haven't seen anything. I feel like they kind of opened it up a little bit last game, actually, this previous game. So you saw a couple of double reverses. You saw a little bit of their bag as far as that. But, like, as far as passing concepts, I'll have to see a little bit better patterns. You got too many explosive guys. You got to get those guys the ball somehow. So on the offensive side, I think that is my main concern. Defensively, the yards given up, you mentioned the discrepancy. I think part of that is Johnny Hecker being a guy at this point at punting the football. I think they said he put like multiple punts down inside the 10 or something, inside the 15 or something like that. So that's giving them an extra yardage to have to recoup back. And maybe we could have did a better job of getting off the field at sometimes on defense and not letting them extend drives. But I was pleased with the defensive side of the ball. My main concern was rushing. And you can kind of see that in the Saints opening drives, where they would load up the edges, go heavy, and then run at us on the edges. I was pleased to see us stop that. And I think a lot of that was Phil Snow getting extra aggressive at the line of scrimmage and stacking that box. So having more bodies in there to account for. And I think that's where you can attribute a lot of these yards that the receivers got, because they were on an island with single coverage. So that's really our mantra on defense. It's like, we're just going to man up, and you're going to have to beat J.C. Horn and C.J. Henderson and Dante Jackson. You're just going to have to beat them. So I think that's something we can maybe tighten up, but I don't foresee it being something that they would be extra concerned about. I think they're going to trust that their guys with speed on the line of scrimmage will beat you to your quarterback before your receivers can beat our guys outside. So, yeah, I mean, overall, my main concern is the offense and not sustaining drives. We got to figure out a way to stay on the field.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, as a fan, you know, observing the game, it's so frustrating to, you know, see your team come out and do a three out, and then the opponents, they just immediately just march up and down the field like they own it. You know, that's always something that just annoys me. It's like, I know it may sound unrealistic, but I want to see points out of my first drive. Preferred touchdown, we'll settle for a field goal, but to come out and punt after 3, 4, 5 plays, it just really makes me feel like we just not prepared, or whatever was scripted, you know, just not working, or something like that. That's, you know, maybe that's just my own personal gripe and beef, but I would love for us to be able to score more on our opening possession, just to set the tone that, hey, you know, we've done our homework. We studied our assignments this week. We put in the work, and you know, we're coming out here to make plays. So, you know, that's just from my own personal perspective as a fan. But definitely, I feel like that you know, we have talent offensively that's really, you know, really not being featured as it should. But you know, JD, you mentioned something about, you know, Baker not being mentioned starter till, you know, right before the start of the season. I think this whole quarterback competition, left tackle competition, that was created by Matt Rhule to coddle the feelings of Sam Darnold and Brady Christensen, I think that really is costed valuable reps for Baker Mayfield and Ike Ekwonu, because I really feel like had they got the day one reps from the beginning, I really feel like that it both would be more further along, and particularly with Baker. You know, he's learning his fifth playbook in 5 years, or 6 years, or whatever. You know, dating back to college. You know, and then the different. You know, he had like three different head coaches while in Cleveland his 4 years, and you know, I just think this whole competition thing, you know, it was spirited and it was made both guys better. I just think that's a factor that's affecting, I think, a lot of the chemistry, you know, or lack thereof that we're seeing right now. What would you say about that? Would you think that played a part in it?
I absolutely do, especially from the understanding of developing Icky to be your left tackle. Week one, he has one of the best pass rushers in the league on his neck. So he needs as much time as possible. If you plan on rolling him out there at left tackle and letting him take his lumps, at least give him a solid foundation. Like, you did both your starters on the left side of disservice, because now they're splitting time at left tackle. Well, I don't know if I'm going to start at left tackle or guard. Or I got to learn this. So if I'm at left tackle, for Icky, I need to do this. If Brady Christian, if I'm at guard, I need to learn this. And I'm starting, like, right now I'm first team tackle, so I need to make sure that's straight. So I'm like, let these guys focus on one thing. Like, if you believe in, I've been a guy, and I've been beat over the head in the chat by you over this. I've been a guy to say, let Icky be guard. But, I mean, if you're going to put him at tackle, put him at tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's anything as far as, like, his IQ or his athleticism. Nothing needs to be said about that. I think he can do both. I think just not giving him that time did him the disservice. For QBs, though, it is extremely pivotal that they get first-team snaps or second-team snaps. It's like, I understand people are like, oh, well, first team is the starter, boom, boom, boom. He's your franchise guy. He's the face of your franchise. But having all the second team snaps is pivotal too, because now you know your second team guy will be focusing on more in-depth things than, oh, I got to learn this, how to place this ball. This guy, this receiver is naturally boom, boom. He's a natural slot guy. So I have that guy, that guy, that. It would have done the team a better service if Rule would have said, okay, Baker's running with first team. As soon as his playing touchdown, Baker's running with first team. Darnold, you're going to run with second team. Straight like that. Because now they have both the opportunity. Okay, this is the hot. If I want the slide protection, I need to do this and communicate it this way. You can go into depth, that kind of depth, as the first team starter or as the second team starter. And I feel like they just wasted the time splitting first team reps, first and second team reps, instead of just sticking with one or the other and learning the system in that with that group of guys. So, yeah, it's nobody's fault but Rule, honestly, that the offense is as stale as it is. There's no reason why most of our receivers are sub 4.5 guys. Most of our running backs are sub 4.5 guys. It doesn't make sense that this offense is as stale as it is. Again, it's all – you got to put the lion's share of the blame on Rule and some on McAdoo and some on Baker. But that's just what it is, man. It's just – NFL teams don't work that way. That's that college stuff we talking about.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you 100%. You know, that's everything in college doesn't translate over. But just to switch up a little bit, want to jump in here and respond to what some of the fans are saying here on this particular subject matter. Bill Spire said that the Blitz wins this game. It says that the Henry and Matt pickup was clutch. Freddie Figueroa, great run stuffers. Okay. Elvin Friend said, I still think we need another pass rush on defense. I don't think we get to the quarterback enough. Yeah, I was going to talk about that in just a moment. They only have but one sack, but we created a lot of pressure with the hurries, hits. As well. I'll go over those numbers here a little bit in a moment as well. And it says our last win was against our upcoming opponent, the Cardinals. That was that's what was said by Freddie Figueroa. Bill Spires said snow brought the guys from all over and kept the Saints off balance all day. We stopped the stupid defense rope-a-dope and let the team move the ball. I agree. Bill also says, big question, why can't we pass consistently? Is it all Mayfield being stupid or McAdoo pissing in the bed when it comes to our play calls? I think we just went over that talking about, you know, the lack of first team reps and chemistry. JD, Jared Calston of YouTube says, hope we're doing well. Appreciate it. DJ Bollinger, they aren't utilizing McCaffrey efficiently enough against safeties and linebackers. They had him a few times on third and medium, but didn't get to him. I agree. This is something we have talked about a lot in the chat, JD. Again, Freddie Figueroa saying this Terrence Marshall situation is annoying. Me, his size and hands can help in the red zone and one-on-ones. Fellow four-man rush. Vic Smooth said that they can't move the ball inside and it's annoying. Yes, I agree. You know, I've been day one, JD, for thinking that we want a power inside run game. The left side should be Icky at left tackle and Michael Jordan at left guard. I think those are the sentiments we shared as well. Says we need to run the ball 30 times a game. I'm a fan of running the ball. And Mike Ricks said, what's good, fellas? So, JD, based off what our fans were talking about, anything in particular picked out? Like I said, we talked about Terrence Marshall, how CMC been utilized. Any comments about those two particular aspects?
As far as Christian, I think we've all been pounding the table to have somebody spell him and take some of these touches from him, I knew deep down in my heart and soul that they wasn't going to take this man touches from him because he's just too electric with the ball in his hands. And a lot of broken plays for a normal running back, he turns into a first down or at least gives us a manageable conversion opportunity. So, I mean, I feel like they I don't know if it's like they're trying to be wise with how many touches he get, but like literally when you split this man out and he has a linebacker or safety on him, he's open. Every time. I've never seen Christian blanketed by coverage. Not yet. Not this season. So I don't know if Becker's like, well, if I overuse him, you know, that puts him in danger. I don't know if that's – I don't even think he's wired like that. But I feel like somewhere in that room is like, okay, we just gave him 20 so touches running the ball. So maybe let's not, you know, put him in that situation. But now that LaVisca is here, he's kind of that wide back as we saw. It'll be interesting to see how much they use him. I was surprised to see them use him as much as or more than the other backs. So given what we've seen from Dante Foreman averaging like two snaps or two touches for the past like two games, and then this game I don't even think he got one.
Nah, he didn't.
Yeah.
We had 31 rush attempts yesterday, 25 by McCaffrey for 108. Chuba, of all people, 3 for 25.
Good lie.
Broke off a nice 14-yard one. DJ Moore had 2 for 13, and then, of course, Baker had one. So, yeah, what is the deal with, you know, with Dante Foreman? It's just kind of, you know, puzzling here why he didn't even get in the game or even get a care. I don't remember even seeing him on the field.
I don't know. If be he honest got, with you. I don't know if he got snaps, bro. Like honestly, we saw Chuba before we saw Foreman out there. So I don't know if it's a matter of they don't want to take the offensive identity out the game. Because that's Christian. He's literally our offensive identity. I don't know if they don't want to take him out of the game because the offense already looks stagnant. They got to get the man touches, though, because he's averaging like – I think he's averaging almost 3-4 yards a clip, or at least he was last game. I think he was at 4.5 per carry, so I don't know. And Rule mentioned in his presser that the opportunities just haven't been there. To be fair, this is the first game they had over 60 snaps on offense. So, I mean, given the situation, I can understand it. But let me shout out Chuba, though, for keeping his balance. The offense was acting a little different, man, because they had Ian Thomas catching passes and breaking tackles. And Chuba out here doing the matrix and keeping his balance. I was like, what in God's name they got in these boys? But – yeah, hopefully, man. Hopefully they'll figure out the snaps and usage and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I'm looking at these snap counts from yesterday on Panthers.com. Chuba had 7. Rashard Higgins had 6. Dante Foreman was out there for 4. And your favorite, Steven Sullivan, was out there for 2 offensive snaps. So,
oh, God.
And, you know, to make the impact that he did, LaVisca Chenault was only out there for 11 offensive snaps, but definitely made an impact. So I'm just mad DJ Moore was out there 60 snaps for 1 reception, 2 yards. Like, you know, DJ, if you just happen to be listening to us, just smile every time you see your weekly deposit Monday morning, you know, from your contract extension you signed. You know, things going to get better, bro. Hold your head up, DJ.
I promise you, bro. We got to get that man right, bro. He's too dynamic,
man. Yeah. So, far as the other aspect of the game here, you know, that I saw improvement in with the Panthers was in the area of turnovers. We didn't have any. We forced three on the Saints. Also, our penalties, though annoying, always annoying. I would say anytime you keep them under 50 yards, that's a good effort. Four penalties for 40 yards by the Panthers. While the Saints had seven penalties for 58 yards. Time of possession really was damn near even. 29 minutes and 50 seconds for the Saints. 30 minutes and 10 seconds for the Panthers. So if you want to say we wanted on the time of possession, we did by 20 seconds. yeah, which is also reflected in the both team at 13 drives. Saints had 64 plays. Panthers had 59 plays. So, yeah, win the turnover battle 3-0. JD, I think that's definitely a good sign. It seems like since we got beat up and ran the hell over week one against Cleveland, this defense seemed to have got woken up. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, man. This defense is looking a little different than the same. It doesn't look like the same group to me, honestly. From week one to now, even from week one to week two, it didn't look like the same defense. I'm gonna shout some of that out to Marquand McCall, bro.
Speak on it, man. Speak on it.
This man is when he gets on the field, and I don't think he's cracking that. Like, I don't think he's one of the top guys in the rotation yet. But when he's on the field, it's automatic penetration, bro. I'm also shout out Derrick Brown because they said he was a bust, but this man out here busting some heads. So, even Henry Anderson, he'll flash sometimes. Ioannidis had a nice, he did a nice little swim move, got out, disengaged his guy, and then made the tackle. So the guys up front have a lot to do with their improvement, bro. They definitely stepped their game up. Luvu, bro. What Ooh. More can I say? What more can I say? Bro. When I tell you, I got off the couch and screamed when this man, they pulled a guard. Oh my God, bro! And this man popped the guard, bro.
Yep.
Like it's that kind of stuff that we were missing, bro. It's like attack the blocker, bro. Don't let that blocker get up in your chest. Put hands on you like that. Go get that man. That brother. Boy, we were missing that. And you could tell the other guys fed off that too. So, Luvu, bruh, he honestly might be the best linebacker on the team right now. He might be. Shaq almost got him a little interception, Luke Kuechly style. I know Luke was smiling. I ain't listened to the radio broadcast, but I know he was up there cheesing for that. Yeah, those guys played different, bro. That front seven is definitely stepping up. I want to see a little bit more from you, Tour.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, I don't know what he got going on. I have to check the film, but yeah, I think he could definitely step it up a little bit. And if not, then we might need to see what Lil Barno got and had that man act before a game, see what he could do. I saw Brandon Smith on special teams, too. I don't know if they're trying to work him back a little slower. Or I don't know. Let me see if I can find his snap count.
Oh, I got you a got snap it? Count right here. Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay. I could have sworn I saw him.
Let's see. No, I don't have him down for anything on defense or special teams.
Wow, okay. I think my eyes was just playing the trick on me. I could have sworn I saw number 40 on the kick return.
Hey, man.
Look, I'm just ready for him to get back and feed off of this, some of this Luvu energy that we got permeating on the defense right now.
Well, you know what? He may have because I don't see him with any defensive snaps, so he may have been just strictly special teams because, you know, the way they do the snaps. You play defense, they also going to put your special team snaps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just to let you know real quick, the snap breakdown, Keith Taylor coming back. He had four snaps on defense, five on special teams. Davion Nixon, let's shout him out. You know, got cut, brought back to a practice squad, got activated with the injury to who was it got injured?
Bravion Roy.
Yeah, Bravion Roy. And kind of surprised that Hoskins was a scratch, but you know, McCall doing his thing. You know, for his impact, he only had 14 snaps on defense and 4 on special teams. But boy, that one on special teams where he blocked that field goal. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
What did he run about? What, 6'6"?
Yep.
Yeah. So,
yep.
Hey, man. Harry Anderson had 18 defensive snaps. That's the bottom. The bottom tier here, we've been ragging on our linebackers, but Corey Littleton had 18 snaps. Damian Wilson had 24. Shaq had 51 snaps. Frankie Louvell and Jeremy Chin played every snap, all 69 snaps. J.C. Horn, 65 snaps. Xavier Woods, 65 snaps. Brian Burns, 56. C.J. Henderson, 54. Ioannidis, 51. Gross Models, 46. Derrick Brown, yo, who was a man amongst boys. Come on, now, speak on it. 43 snaps. Marquise Haynes, who hauled ass on the fumble return, had 39 snaps. Your personal favorite, Miles Hartfield, 37 snaps. And Dante had 27. So, Phil Snow definitely believes in rotating, you know, guys and packages and certain things like that. So, but it says something about I didn't see it. Dante Jackson left with a neck injury. Did you hear anything about that?
I ain't heard nothing else. I knew they took him out the game because I remember seeing Keith Taylor out there for a little bit with CJ and Miles, but I hadn't heard anything else from it.
Yeah, and I'm also seeing CJ also had a little neck injury. So what's up with the necks on our cornerbacks yesterday?
Look, they can't turn their head around. That's the issue. That's why they can't do it.
Not fooling with you on that one, man. I'm not fooling with you on that one. You know, ever since Cornell against Seattle 2018, but anyway.
Jeez. Jeez. That corn was burnt, boy.
All right. So let's get to the performance of these quarterbacks here yesterday. Mixed bag at best. As far as the results and the performances of both, Baker Mayfield's stats read as follows: 12 for 25 for 170 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, was sacked 3 times, passer rating of 83.8. Panthers defense, what they did against Jameis Winston. Now, he was 25 for 41 for 353 yards, but as you said, thanks to our punter, they had to go the length of the field a large majority of the day. He was able to hit a couple of deep bombs, like I said, in that fourth quarter to make it more competitive. 1 touchdown, but, you know, good old Winston, you can count on 2 interceptions. He wasn't sacked but 1 time, though. Passer rating of 76.6. So, JD, you know, we the four-man rush, you know, we stay on Twitter, you know, collectively and individually. A lot of discussion, you know, about, you know, the Panthers, offensive performance. Is it mostly on Baker Mayfield? I mean, I know we touched about it earlier about the snaps, but I hate to say it, but I mean, the first 3 quarters of week 1 and the game against the Giants week 2 and now this one, I'm waiting to see that 2020 Baker Mayfield that made us all feel like that the acquisition of him was going to be something now that he's healthy. I don't see anything lingering. Like I said, we mentioned it could be, you know, lack of first team reps, but, you know, as a guy that, you know, studied QBs extensively like you do, share with our fans what you think may be the issue Now, he's not to be blameless, let's, you know, but I think it's all on him. But, you know, from your perspective, what are you seeing with Baker Mayfield that's causing him to put up these type of numbers? It seemed like he was missing some easy layups from the jump yesterday. I mean, it was guys wide open that were getting the ball on at their feet and just overshot with nobody really on them like that. And I was like, damn, what's going on? So what did you see?
Yeah, right. But even going back to week one, even week two, you saw that same kind of trend where Shy's open on the slant, he overthrows it, or DJ's open on the flat and he overthrows and throws it over his head. So I think a lot of what's going on can be attributed to his internal clock, and he feels like he doesn't have or he just feels pressure. And that internal clock, well, I like to put it, talks directly to your feet. So I think it's a footwork issue, honestly. He just has to slow himself down. There's also plenty of plays on film where if he was just a little patient, look that safety off, it's a touchdown. That simple. And on a lot of those plays, the offensive protection is fine. He has plenty of pocket to work with. It's just the awareness for him to relax, take another beat, pat the ball right quick, boom. It's not like they're like a long way away. For a lot of these plays, it's just a split second decision to like either tuck it or hesitate a little bit, and that gets him in trouble. So I think if we had to place, and I hate to say like, oh, it's this much his fault, this much his fault, but I think Baker has to take responsibility for a lot of what's going on, especially with when his offensive line has done their job. They're blocking twists and stunts much better than they did last year. And even last year apart, it's like the offense, for the most part, is doing their job. It's just execution part. So, yeah, I think for us to look better on offense, they have to do a better job of attacking all three levels. I think that's what we're missing in the passing game. Like, if you took a look at some of his passing charts, you would see a lot of attempts underneath. You'll see a couple attempts deep. But that intermediate part of the field from, like, I would say maybe about 10 to 20 yards, that whole block of field is just not being attacked consistently enough. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, okay, defenses are either going to load that box, blitz you, and make you get that ball out quick, and then we're just going to tackle, or we're just going to clamp up, you know, or whatever, because we know you're not going to attack the middle part of the field. We're just going to let you do whatever you do underneath, and we're just going to come up and tackle you. But, yeah, for this offense to look much deadlier, and what – honestly, I think Baker is capable of. He can make all those throws. There's not a throw on the field I don't think Baker Mayfield can't make. He's the best arm talent we've had in Carolina since Cam Newton. Straight up. That's just what it is. Okay. Since 2018 Cam Newton, I give him that. And I think Teddy had better touch. I think Teddy was overall a little bit more poised. And that's why Teddy has been the best quarterback we've had since that Cam Newton era. But I think Baker, as far as talent goes, he's up there with the very best that have ever done it in Carolina. So it's hard because it's frustrating to see how close it is on film. But, yeah, they just got to do a better job. McAdoo's got to call some schemes up or scheme something up to get that intermediate part of the field more susceptible to their passing attack. Play action wise, that'll open them up for the deep shots. That'll make their short game better. That's the only thing that the passing concepts are missing. And a part of the reason for that, I think, is that they're using mirrored passing patterns. So you'll see like a slant on this side, a slant on the other side. You have two guys running like a levels concept to where one's running a shallow crosser, then another one's like right behind them, not even 5 yards behind them. When you can really honestly flip that into like a bench concept to have one guy running a medium kind of post thing. And then if you want to have a quick slant or a regular slant underneath, that would attack that second level of the field better than just two drags or two shallow crossing routes. So it'll be interesting to see what McAdoo does. And I didn't do a super deep dive for McAdoo's passing concepts when we made him the OC. I was more anticipating the power run game because that's what he did in New York. And that's what I wanted to see. A lot of the four-man rush wanted to see Michael Jordan out there and just move bodies and let Christian McCaffrey hit the lane and just take off to the races. But, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know what they have cooking up, but it's got to be – it's blatant on every passing chart that we've had so far, all three of them. The middle of the field is just not being attacked. So we'll see, man. They got to get that figured out.
Hey, Jed, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and say what needs to be said. It's going to be a little bit controversial because I know how fans were reacting, but had the Panthers kept Teddy Bridgewater, I think we'd be in a much, much better position year three than where we are right now. I know he wasn't, but yeah.
Talk to him. That's
come
facts.
On, man. You know, we wasted – six draft picks, getting Matt Corral and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
For the results that we gotten.
Yep.
We would have been better sticking with Teddy, letting him play out his 3 year, because this would have been his third year.
Mm-hmm.
Third year here, which had he been released would have only cost us $5 million instead of the $21 million in dead cap that it cost us. You know.
Yep.
He had no problem attacking in the middle of the field. The short and the intermediate stuff, he was tearing up.
Yep. So
fans were complaining, oh, he didn't throw the deep ball. Well, we got Sam Darnold throwing the prettiest deep ball interceptions in the league. And, you know, going through all that. And look, then,
don't forget, Teddy led the league in air yardage at one point that year when he started. So even that it wasn't completely true. That he didn't attack the deep part of the field. So I think Teddy did the best job, like I said, the poise and attacking all three levels of the field. Unquestionable. I think he might have one of the top five QBRs for our franchise. Like he was that consistent. I don't know. Let's see. Let me fact check that. Hold on. Let me go on, get the receipts. Hold on. Sports. Reference. Okay. I heard chat going up. I was like, wait a minute. Let me get them the receipts because they're not gonna believe it unless they see it. That's Bible. Let's see. Hold up. But yeah, man, we got if you look at the quarterback situation, we like $60-70 million in a hole, six draft picks. And you could have saved all that by either A, keeping Teddy, or B, just keeping Cam and letting him be the bridge. And you get to fill the holes with those six draft picks and that extra $70 million you never spent for 1 year for each guy, which is absolutely asinine to me. And I think a part of that blame has to go on David Tepper, because I know for sure he went up to Matt Rule's like, boy, if you start this season next year with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, then right. He said, boy, if you start this season next year with Sam Darnold as quarterback. Yeah.
Hey, man, yeah. Tepper, I can't deny that. So y'all may feel how you feel about what I said about Teddy Bridgewater, but like I say, he wasn't the most spectacular, you know, fantasy team, YouTube highlight filler up, but he connected well on short and intermediate, which is what we're sorely missing now. So anyway, I just had to get that out the way. But yeah, so let's talk about what the defense did to Jameis, you know, to kind of bring this on around here. You know, with Jameis Winston's stats, as I'm looking here, 25 for 41 for 303 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Was only sacked once, but had a passer rating of 76.6. But I reached out to you familiar with Will Brown on Twitter, right? The Panther stat guy?
Yep.
So I reached out him. I reached out to him this morning, and let me pull up the tweet here. Give me one moment. Okay, here we go. So I reached out to Will Bryan and I said, by chance, do you track the weekly QB pass rush statistics for things like sacks, hurries, and hits? Just want to see who's getting after it. And he responded back that according to PFF, Brian Burns has two sacks, two quarterback hits, and eight quarterback hurries for the Panther lead as far as players on the Panthers go. Now, as far as just overall team pressure yesterday, let me pull that up here for you guys. Just bear with me. Scroll right past it. Ah, here it is. Let's see. All right, so yesterday, Burns had five pressures. He had one hit, four hurries. J.C. Horn had two pressures. He had a quarterback hit and a hurry. Utah Gross Meadows had two pressures with two hurries. Hartfield, same thing, two pressures, two hurries. And Chen had a sack and a hurry. So it looks like Phil Snow cooked up some pressure from the secondary, to affect and rattle Jameis Winston here, because even though he was only sat one time, as far as QB hits, we got six hits on him, and it looks like we got about 14 hurries on him yesterday. So,
yeah.
On 41 dropbacks, would have liked to seen three or four more sacks. We had a couple of near sacks, but at the end of the day, it's not horseshoes. So definitely hope this pass rush, lights up and hit a stride and can continue. So, but it was good to see the secondary get involved with applying pressure on the quarterback yesterday.
I think a lot of those near sacks turn into sacks with the healthy Jameis, because you got to remember Jameis, they knew he was hurting, so I don't think they exposed him to the amount of hits he would normally have been exposed mm-hmm. to. I think his internal clock would have been a little bit more relaxed. So for the times that we almost sacked him and he just got the ball away or, threw the ball away or made a quicker decision, I think a lot of those turn into sacks. So I think it's just a matter of Jameis being hobbled. They didn't have Taysom Hill. Their backup would have been Andy Dalton. So, yeah, I think a part of that is just the internal clock and understanding that Jameis is already hobbled. Let's not get the man hurt more.
Right. Yo, JD, can we talk about the back-to-back strong performances by J.C. Horn.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Look,
I mean, look. Yesterday he had an interception and defended three passes. As I mentioned, he brought some pressure on the quarterback as well. He was responsible for the interception by Derrick Brown, who got his first career interception. I don't even think he got one at Auburn. So
nope, I don't think
that
so.
Was pretty good. That was off the tip pass. You know, they had JC in the nickel. I think I caught that with the star position.
Yep.
And he definitely came unblocked and got his hands up, and it led to the interception by Derrick Brown. Second game where JC, you know, what he calls up the seatbelt. That's what he's saying. I mean, he putting the seatbelt on because, you know, when you look at, you know, the Saints, you know, receivers, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, Chris Olave and Tre'Quan Smith, when you look at their numbers, like, oh, wow, they roast, you know, they did their thing. But I think JC was primarily on Michael Thomas, who was held to five catches on five targets, but 49 yards.
Yeah.
You know.
They did Jarvis, have Dante on Michael Thomas a couple times, too, for those receptions.
Okay. Jarvis Landry, two catches on five targets for 22 yards. I just think that we're just a couple of, you know, turn head plays away, because a lot of that was given up to Chris Olave and Tre'Quan Smith were just, you know, fundamentals just breaking down at the last second for the Panthers versus more so, Winston execute. Because one thing we know, he can throw it deep.
Mm-hmm.
And we had players there to make plays on the ball that just didn't happen, you know.
Yeah, a lot of that is just trusting that they were in good position. I think C.J. Henderson, for the most part, he's the primary guy, like, to where he'll be in good position. But then know the ball is in the air, and he kind of, I don't know if he panics or just doesn't trust his position to find the ball. I want him to take those chances, though. Just get that head around and see if we can make a play, because he's a great athlete. So as far as JC, man, I'm going to say something that's a little controversial.
Uh-oh.
Just a little bit. JC is who what they're trying to make. The fans are trying to make Jerry McChinn to be out. JC is exactly who they think Jerry McChinn is as far as being effective at all different levels. I think as far as alignments go, by my clock, he's the only guy to have lined up at five spots last game. JC is. So those five, we had him on the edge as a pass rusher, in the box 13 times, free safety, I think I saw – three or four times, slot nickel, and just outside boundary corner. So he's been everywhere, and it's a little rare to see a top 10 corner pick like this to be a lot. Like JC was picked to be a lockdown corner, but I don't think I've ever seen a corner of his caliber moved around like this. So if you go back and look at the other corner taken after him, Patrick Surtain, he's primarily a boundary guy.
Right.
And he's damn good at it. He's really, really good at it. But JC,
I would say he's elite in his second year.
Yes. Like he's hooping. And I don't think I think it's unheard of, because like even a guy like Sauce that just went this past year, primarily a boundary guy, Okuda, who struggled a couple seasons early on for the Lions, has been a boundary guy. I don't know if I've seen another corner line up at Joker, line up at free safety. Okay, now he's at nickel. Okay, he's going to be at boundary corner. I don't know if I've ever seen a young corner of JC's caliber do all that. So I really think JC is going to be that do it all kind of guy that everybody thinks Jeremy Chinn is.
Yeah, and then to be honest, you know, him around. I think Dante Jackson can be moved around and be used effectively in the same role. You know,
absolutely.
I think he could definitely play free safety. You know, nickel. You know, outside cornerback. I definitely think, you know, and I think we got the talent as far as guys like C.J. Henderson, like Keith Taylor, that can play the outside or the nickel while we rotate guys around like J.C. I think there's a lot of versatility that would allow, you know, Phil Snow to get real funky and creative with, you know, the personnel grouping and the alignment in the secondary, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't been playing matchups more than they have. I don't know if they're just trying to get everybody's feet wet at one position and get a little more creative as time goes on. I think Dante might be my favorite film of him at LSU was him moving around, jumping from boundary to nickel to free safety and just letting him fly around and make plays on the ball. Xavier Woods, another guy, he's a safety, but played nickel at a high level in college and played a little bit of boundary out in college. So it can move around free, strong, doesn't matter. Miles Hartsfield, literally both corner and safety on college film. So it's good to see these guys move around. I think they should play a little bit more matchups with it. So I think for last game, I would have liked to see JC on your bigger guys like Michael Thomas and let him press up a little bit more and let Dante have that Roman role. Or at least have Dante on like an Olave, a guy that's pretty fast, you know. I would have liked to see that a little bit more. But other than that, I love moving these guys around. I don't think I've seen anything quite like it at the NFL level.
Yeah, man. I mean, position flexibility is something that we all have been in favor of here. So let's wrap this up by responding back to our fans here. I did pull up the PFF, thanks to you, JD, because I see some questions here that I felt like definitely need to be addressed here. Let me scroll back up here. You know, fans are agreeing that you know, Louisville is beasting right now, making plays. Some Freddie Figueroa said giving John Beeson vibes. That's definitely how it breeds, because Beeson was just, man.
He attacked that block like he was Beeson, though.
Yo.
If he ain't, he thought he was.
Yo, but, like, y'all ever seen, like, John Beeson, like, you know what I'm saying, like, shirt off, like, dude looked like a chiseled Adonis. Like, dude had to be, like, 3%, maybe 4% body fat. Like, damn, what's going on in Miami? Dude, I mean, he was like a shorter version of Swole Bones, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, just muscles in his forehead for no reason, you know.
He was too fast too for a dude that size. You think all that muscle was slow a guy down? Nah, not beast.
Nah, not at all. Let's see here. Bill Spires said that did y'all see where F line ranked huge by PFF from yesterday? Our line was a C plus. Was a C plus here. I didn't see the line altogether. I know PNP usually on Twitter usually drop the weekly line grade. Did you happen to get a glimpse of those yet?
I think I saw some of them. I didn't particularly pay a lot of attention to it. I think I might have a screenshot of it though. Let me pop down and see.
Here it is. Okay. All right. I was able to actually pull up the whole roster here.
I'll bet.
Okay. So, let's, if you fans don't mind, you know, joining us, we're going to go down PFF Boulevard here. I know because we've been very vocal, you know, when it comes to the grading system of PFF hasn't always been what we felt like was the most accurate, but it seemed like they're consistent across the board with everybody. So we'll take it for a grain of salt as a tool and not so much the final say, but I'm gonna get ready to share the screen here. Switch the format up. All right, JD, can you see this?
Not yet. Nope.
Oh, okay. Now I gotta hit share. I gotta click. Oh, there it is.
There to go.
All right. Can you see it now?
Yep.
All right. So according to PFF, this is how the Panthers graded out yesterday. Whoo, Baker, my man. Jeez. Yeah. 43.3 is the grade Baker got yesterday on offense. Of course, easily the highest grade was LaVisca Chenault at 95.
True Blues.
Robbie Anderson, 52.7. DJ Moore, 63.6. Rashard Higgins, 55. Yo boy, Shai Smith, got a 49.3.
He probably deserved it too. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Not sure why Terrence Marshall got graded because I didn't see him no snap count yesterday. For a reason, they got him at 68.1.
That might be for let's see. I don't know. Cause I thought he was inactive.
I thought he was too. Let me make sure I'm looking at this right.
Yeah, click that. He was right. Oh wait, no, that's draft year. Never mind. Never mind. You was right. You was right the first time.
So this is yesterday's grades, right?
That might be overall.
But I haven't seen him play all year. But
let me see. Scroll to you see where it say tools at the top tab? Oh, yep, you was right in that black area.
Okay.
Keep going to the right. It says tools and then player grades. Hit that.
Okay.
Let's see. Scroll down. Yeah. Hold on. I forgot how TNP told me to get to that. Dang. Boom. Oh, okay. 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 Hold on. You see where it says, you know where you press player grades? At the top, right, on that top tab? Go right next to it and hit premium stats.
Okay.
I think that's going to be it right there. How? Now scroll down to Panthers and hit our logo. Yep. Season grades. Yep. Now click Saints. Click the Saints line. And then go to game reports. Yes, sir. All right. Now you can look at offense, defense, blocking, all that good stuff. You can just hit one.
Okay.
And then, yep, that's for this game.
Oh, okay. Here we go. All right.
Yeah.
Learning on the fly.
Yeah.
Okay. So they got them ranked from best to worst, per se. That's a bit LaVisca, 95 yesterday. McCaffrey, 79. Taylor Moten, 70. Chuba, 67. Solid day from Corbett, 66. Shai, 64. Brady Christensen, 62. Then after that, drops down to the 50s. Yeah. I say, the offense. The offense was tough to watch yesterday. I'll give you that. Let's see. Damn, Baker all the way down. Yep, 46.5. So.
Yeah.
Damn, they have Pat Elflein, 45.4.
He missed a couple of, I think he was supposed to help out with the stunt, and he missed it, and it ended up being a sack or two. So I think that's probably what. But he's generally been one of the top three linemen we have graded out as far as PFF goes. But again, with a grain of salt.
Definitely with a grain.
A large grain of salt.
So let's switch it over to
you see, yep, offense. There you go. Yes, sir.
Say, look at the defense. Should see a lot of green over here. Here we go.
That's the vibes.
So defensively, JC Horn 92.6, Shaq 79, Terrett Brown 76. His run defense had him a 77. Good to see. Shit, for 9 snaps, Tavion Nixon did work.
I thought they said he wasn't an NFL caliber player.
Right. Okay, that part.
Somebody lied.
But look at Frankie Lugo doing God's work. 73, but run defense 89.2.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a proved game from your boy Damian Wilson, 70. Tackling 78, which we had been on him for. Yeah. Coverage 65. Run defense, so not bad at all. Brian Burns 67.
He got a lot of doubles, I think, this past game.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, he seemed to do pretty good in coverage. I know a lot of fans like, by Brian Burns and coach, if I'm not mistaken, he's probably one of our better flat defenders in the flat.
He is. It's not really close either.
Corey Littleton was tackling well, covered pretty decent. Marquise Haynes. The guys on defense were definitely chugging along. I mean, looks like overall we had a great day, solid tackling. I don't really see a lot of below 60s with the tackling. May not have put up overall stats, but again, take this for what it's worth. We was bringing pass. I'm going to excuse Dante on his tackling because we know he's a better tackler with, groin and neck injury and things like that. I'm going to give him a pass on this 37.2. But we know Dante Jackson definitely can tackle.
Look at Chen with the 90 pass rush grade.
Oh, yeah, that pressure. You get a sack and the quarterback hitting her. Yeah,
that'll do it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take a look. Look at a little other entries here. Let's take a look at coverage matchups. Let's see.
Uh-oh. I didn't know they did that. This on the screen.
Okay. All right. So, let's see who ate the most against certain defense. So, let's start with the top, Miles Hartsfield. Miles was locking him down. Let's see. Yeah. Olay to 11 yards, Tre'Quan Smith to 23, Michael Thomas to 22. Hey, man. Get Miles Hartsfield some more reps.
Look, I'll take it.
Hey, I'll take it.
He would have had him a pick too. If he would have just closed on that ball a little bit better.
Right. Looks like Shaq had a pretty solid game. Anytime I see a wide receiver, I'm assuming he's playing zone, but tight end. It looked like he was mainly on Kamara's ass because Kamara's held 2 receptions, 12 yards on 3 targets. So good job.
Yeah.
Looked like Chris Olave got his chunk on CJ Henderson here. 3 targeted 3 times when covered by CJ Henderson. 72 yards, that big 49 yard one. But I'm still not giving up on CJ. That's just me. We know Michael Thomas don't do nothing but run slants, so, you know, 8 yards, that was probably a slant. <You know. laughs> yep. So, look like Chris Olave ate off of Henderson and Dante because he got Dante for 50 yards and 2 catches, gave up a 38-yard one as well.
Yeah.
Hold up. Did Dante get a pick?
Did he? I don't think he did.
Well, it says one interception. I know Derrick Brown got one. I thought J.C. Horn had the other.
Yeah, J.C. had the other one at the end of the game.
Huh. I wonder if that's why they – that's okay. That's different. Yes. Ooh, huh. Yeah. Jeremy Chin responsible for Traquan Smith Day. Look, this 3 targets, 3 receptions, 82 yards, 48 yards. Again, looks like he was in the slot to the right as a wide receiver. So it looked like they brought Jeremy Chin down to cover him. I'd rather see Jeremy Chin playing as a deep safety in a cover 2 shell instead of being matched up on slots. This is where I would have rather seen a Keith Taylor or somebody else. I'm not liking Jeremy Chin matching up on slot receivers because, you see that. Mm. Let's talk about all these zeros J.C. Horn put up, man. I mean, look at this, bro. Who want this work? You know, Chris Olave, nothing. Traquan Smith, nothing. I mean, they didn't challenge him. He was targeted 3 times.
Yep.
Seatbelt, man. Click.
And it's not like it's at one part of the field. Like we just said, he move around. So right. that man just strapping stuff down. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, definitely to me as well. You know, strap it up, click it, a ticket.
This all 22 is about to be some fun, bro. I can't wait for it to drop.
Hey, fans, I mentioned earlier. I mean, maybe later on the week, I don't know, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, how the schedule play out. I definitely have to see how, you know, my new trucking schedule going to work out. But definitely have to come on here and do some all 22 breakdowns with JD here with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's take a look at Xavier Woods. Jarvis Landry, 1 catch, 13, minimum damage. Okay.
All right. We'll live with it.
I definitely will. Frankie Louvoux, you know, gave up a 9-yarder. That's pretty much it. Corey Littleton, I mean, he did his job.
He's one of the best coverage linebackers we got.
Right. Keith Taylor, I mean, Chris Olave just ate against everybody. I know it's only 1 for 8, but it looks like he got catches against everybody. So that rookie going to be a problem in our division.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have to the next game put JC on him and see how it goes from there.
Yeah.
All right, so this is some good stuff here, okay?
I didn't know it broke it down like that. That's why.
I see. Yeah. Let's see what else. Let's go back. All right, that was coverage matchups here. Let's take a look at something else. Let's check out this run defense. How they break it down. You know, our run defense, like I said, only gave up 84 rushing yards. We held Kamara to 15 carries, 61 yards. I mean, for him, I mean, yeah, it may say 4 yards to carry. One of those was that long one for 27. But after that, you know, we put the clamps on him.
It was quiet. It got real quiet.
Real quiet, real quick. So
and that was their first drive, too.
Right, so our boys definitely our team was definitely focusing on. Look at all these players, 80s, 70s. I even say 60 and up is decent against against the run. So we like we did good against the run yesterday. Again, Gross Mottos, I'm going to need you to step it up, man. Okay, so that was a lot shorter. Okay, run defense. Let's take a look at what we've been talking about, pass rush. Here's the breakdown. Okay, like I said, we had 14 hurries, one sack, 5 hits on the quarterback. So I think James had 41 pass attempts. So let's see, 14 plus 5, that's 19, so 20. So on about, 49%, nearly half of his pass plays, we had some type of pressure on him.
Yeah.
I could live with that. If we getting pressure on the quarterback 50% of the time he's throwing, I could live with that. Couldn't you?
We'll make it work. We done got worse pressure than that before.
Right.
I'll live with it. That's cool with me.
Right.
You get inside that 45%, that's when the turnover spike too. So if we can live right there around that 50%, then I'm cool.
Right. Okay. Take a little another aspect here. Shit, coverage in general. Let's take a quick look how they do that. Man, this is some in-depth work they're doing. And this is for all 32 teams. You know, everybody else's team got theirs too.
You know what they say. Two organizations got eyes and ears everywhere, the IRS and PFF.
Let's see who was targeted the most. Miles Hartsfield was targeted 7 times. Shaq was targeted 6, along with C.J. Henderson. Jeremy Chin, Dante Jackson both got targeted 4 times. J.C. Horn, like I said, only targeted 3 times. Yeah, man, I like this. I'm going to have to play with this a little bit more later. I don't want to bore our fans. Let me start off, see how we did in the trenches, you know, these bellies real quick, you don't mind? See what it look, what it be like.
So that would give you pass blocking and run blocking.
Yes, sir.
I think you got it. I think they got it to where it filters by pass blocking. So it's highest to lowest pass blocking right now.
Right, right. So who they crediting the 3 sacks to yesterday? One by Brady Christensen, and wow, one by McCaffrey. That's rare.
Yeah,
that ain't. I guess they put another on Baker because I don't see. It says he was sacked 3 times, but I only see 2. That was quote unquote allowed. I'm assuming that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let's see, for all the grief he got, Ike Ekwonu gave up two hurries, but didn't allow a hit, didn't allow a sack. That's an improvement.
Like that. You know, we'll live with that.
You know, I don't know why it's 56.8. Maybe it was the time when these hurries happened. Who knows? But yeah. Okay. That's blocking. Now let me just see how detailed they are when it comes to run blocking. Just the metrics of it. Let's see.
Oh, it separate by zone and gap scheme at the top.
Zone blocking, man on man blocking. Okay. Yep. Let's see this. See, this is this. See, this is what the fuck I be talking about right here. Yeah, man, I'm gonna be up playing with this, man, because I like this.
Yes, sir. For as much like as I question the grades and stuff. Like they detailed, bro.
Yeah, the detail is immaculate. I can't even cap on this. I think the grading and the explanation of the grading is what most people have a gripe about, but to find out that every NFL team has a contract with them. So, you know, that's credibility. So,
yep.
So see, when we're zone blocking, let's see who's our better zone. So, like Taylor did good zone blocking. I would expect higher from Brady with his athleticism. But like I said, you know, play guard, you got to be physical and nasty, man. You just can't just be athletic.
Yeah.
Surprising enough, Austin Corbett had a good day run blocking. Like I said, in that zone scheme, which is what he's accustomed to. Let's see from here. Icky, 55.
I thought he had a better day than that.
Right. Now, when we go man blocking, let's take a look here. Who's our best man? Who's our best man blocker? I see who toted the nuts per se. So let's see, Taylor 55, Corbett 55.
Look like they got Brady at 60 something there.
Yeah, damn, I went right past it, 66.9. So okay, all right. So he manned up on that one. All right. Let's see, Icky 58 in man. All right.
That's his bread and butter right there.
Elf line 45. Yeah. And Tommy, surprise here, 43. Yo, shout out to Rob Anderson blocking his butt off yesterday. I noticed that on, particularly on that Chenault touchdown run, bro. Robbie was out there throwing his little 170 pounds around, bro.
I swear he was. Like, that lane don't open up without Robbie, bro.
Right. It definitely doesn't.
LaVisca is a good blocker, too, bro. You're going to see a couple of times he's going to put a linebacker on his neck.
Right, right.
He got that on film.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at these receiver matchups. See what well, let's just look at it overall, see what how it puts it out there. You could probably recognize some of these metrics better than me. I know targets, reception percentage. So I got these. It's detailed. Let's see how far over it goes.
Oh, it goes a little way.
Good God. Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to whoever put all these numbers in. You know, hey, you're doing God's work. But, couldn't be me, bro.
Page drop, fumble. That's what.
I need to explain why DJ had one reception for 2 yards, bro. I just can't.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, let me get some depth and direction, see what that's like. Ah, damn, JD, you've been holding out on me, bro.
Look, I didn't even know it did that.
Man,
I'm learning with you. Look at the middle of the field, though. Like I said, that intermediate part of the field.
DJ wasn't allowed to go deep. Oof, yeah. Let's see, Robbie.
Okay, Robbie.
He's working them.
He's working right there in the intermediate part.
Right.
That looked good to me.
It was a couple of bad. I remember one of these had his feet right here on the throw to the right side.
Yep.
Of the hash. I remember that. Wow, this is.
Tell them boys to get PFF they little chunk of their check.
For real. McCaffrey, you know, of course, most of his, you know, will be back here. He threatened to eat a minute one time. I think that's when that was that fourth down play where Baker missed him wide the hell open.
Yeah.
Went forward on fourth down. This is pretty cool. Shy.
Yeah, I'm a little first down.
Right. Screenplays. And he had another one for 23 yards. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, he had a little 23-yard first down.
Yep. Shit. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. He was getting loose a little bit, bro.
Ah, what the hell did I do? Okay, go back. Let's go to receiver matchups. Who are putting the clamps on them? Let's see here. Yeah. DJ was covered for the five times he was targeted. Only once by Lattimore, twice by Bradley Roby. Tell everybody to their turn with McCaffrey, four players. Robbie, mostly covered by Roby. Yo, PJ Williams ain't always in a highlight for the Saints.
Yeah, swear to God.
Just a deep dive. Yep, this is where you're talking about chat with Shaquut Roby for that 24-yarder.
Yep.
And this is cool. I like this. This is where it's at.
Don't let our offense start cooking. This is going to be a lot of fun getting in these tabs right here.
Man, what you talking about, man? That's enough of the screen share. All right, Jay, let's wrap it up by chatting up with our fans here. Let's see. I'll let you answer this, JD. Freddie Figueroa back at 920 said, what you think about Chen so far? I think he can have a Pro Bowl year.
I think Jeremy Chinn is I think he's more of a linebacker than what they're leading on. I think his impact on the game when he's closer to the line of scrimmage is just higher. I think he can play safety, and I think he should do both. I think he's less of a safety than what the team thinks. And I honestly think the defense will just improve if you keep him closer to the line a little bit more often. So I think, yeah, they just got to balance him out. He's one of those guys that can do both. I think he's in that mold of like an Eric Reed, to where if they would have played Eric Reed at a little bit more in the box or a little bit more closer to the line of scrimmage, he would have been a lot more dynamic than what he was. I think the same is true for Chen. Let him get close to the line, you know, and kind of play that C ball, get ball kind of role. Because when he does that, he's at a different level.
All right. All right. I had a comment here about William Teeter Jr. He says, yeah, we got players and talent, but we don't have the coach to not employ them and put them in position to succeed. Giving up 353 yards passing isn't good. I can agree to that.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, JD, I think we reached the limit of our welcome here. down to six here.
I'm dead. It's like they just throw PFS scroll. Look at them.
Yeah, we'll catch them next time. That was on me. I got all excited, bro.
Nah, I was looking with you. I was like, wait a minute. The little graphic pops up. I was like, what? I'm gonna have to go do some clicking and stuff on the side. See.
Look, I don't know who on your fantasy team, but it's a it's another watch a paint dry game. Dallas 6, Giants 3.
They just started the third quarter. Yeah. I sure started Daniel Jones this week.
Bruh.
Yeah. It's gonna be another rough season, bruh.
Yeah, that part. All right. Well, for those of y'all that are still with us, appreciate you sticking through our PFF moment here. You definitely was enjoying seeing those. That's the stuff that we like doing in the chats and when we're doing our research and things like that. So this is definitely be a tool we can use to make our content a lot better. So again, shout out to you, JD, for providing the PFF account tonight.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man. But overall, again, Carolina Panthers ended their losing streak. Got our first win of the season, 1-2. Currently, as of week 3, in second place in the NFC South. I think our division is up for grabs, but we can maintain the defense and special teams we saw yesterday and get more consistent QB play. I think we could possibly make some noise.
Absolutely, it's all on this offense now. And this defense to keep that same energy.
Right, right. Because if the Jacksonville Jaguars can beat the Los Angeles Chargers 24-0, anything is possible.
Swear. Anything is possible, bro.
I did not see that one coming.
Oh, baby.
Right. All right. So on behalf of everybody at the 4-Man Rush, want to thank you all again. Again, we thank you guys for interacting with us on our different social media platform, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We definitely appreciate you guys. Even if we don't always agree, we just enjoy the banner. We enjoy the different ideas and different thought concepts that we all run into. So, again, always thank you guys. JD, any closing remarks on your end?
Nah, man. We won one. Hopefully we'll win one next week. Got the Cardinals coming to us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And depending on your location, I believe in safety first, we'll see if the game is affected. If you haven't been following, keeping up, there's a hurricane just south of Cuba named Ian. And it looked like he want to make his way up through this way by the end of the week with rain forecasted entering the Carolinas late Thursday night, all day Friday. Could be all day Saturday, leaving out potentially early Sunday. As you know, these things can change. Anything can make them go one direction or the other. So keep tuned, but definitely be safe. Get prepared. When it comes to the Carolinas, I think it's said winds can be anywhere between 35 to 50 miles an hour. We can look at anywhere from 3 to 5 inches of rain. So just make sure you take precautions and be situated. We've been through worse, but we never want to take Mother Nature for granted. So definitely tune in to your local news, the weather channel, whatever you use to monitor throughout the rest of the week, because we all need you back here to keep pounding. So make sure you guys stay aware of that. So you know, Ian, if you hear us, don't be coming up here acting up, messing up stuff. You know, we ain't had to bring up nothing about no hurricane all year, last couple years. So we need you to act like you got some sense.
Right.
All right. Well, again, thank you, JD, for joining up with me tonight. Again, on behalf of everyone here at 4-Man Rush, I want to thank all you fans. We'll catch you guys out there in social media land. Y'all enjoy, be safe, take care of each other, and always keep pounding.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.